Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? When people say stuff like that.
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome in to this special episode of Wretched Radio today, where we're going to listen in on a conversation Todd had with Dr. Steve Lawson.
So one thing's clear. I think we dressed appropriately, considering the digs we're in. Do you ever not wear a suit and tie? Like if I rang your doorbell at 2 a.m, would you come to the front door like that?
It might be a tuxedo. I just love a coat and tie. I mean, it's like you're ready for life. You're ready for action.
There's more to it than that, and I know it.
Yeah. Man looks on the outward appearance. That's the whole point. God looks on the heart.
No, but you call this your...
My uniform.
That's your uniform.
It's the leadership uniform. It's what pilots wear on airplanes. It's what TV anchors wear on television. It's what the president, what senators, Supreme Court justices wear. I mean, it projects that you know where you're going and what you're doing.
Yeah.
To other people, to get on the airplane and feel somewhat competent. You don't want to be greeted as you get on the airplane with Bozo the Clown.
Well, that's the guy who's probably going to start a mega church.
Yeah.
which
yeah, is, and then every duped person, you know, come and watch Bozo the Clown.
Well, that's the trend now for decades has been that the pastor becomes more accessible.
Yeah, yeah.
More relatable.
Yeah, come down to their level in the gutter.
Yeah, and you say?
No, I there is a leadership of being set apart by God to what he has called you to do, which is a very high and holy calling. And it's very serious as you say, thus says the Lord. And there is a sense in which, a real sense, you have been set apart by God from the muck and the mire of this world. And it does no glory to God to present yourself in a way that is just, I think, unkept and unfit for the office you have.
I always think about, okay, somebody just got the call. They, bad news, child, health. Are they going to call a guy who looks like this or the groovy dude who wants to know how you doing, church? I just don't think that's what people ultimately need. They need a man who is sober and serious about his business.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm an ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think it's proper to present yourself that way. I am leading people into having an audience with the King of Kings. If you're going to Buckingham Palace, you would not show up in your pajamas. You would put on the best, whatever it is, your best is, and you would...
But Steve, God is our daddy. You don't get dressed up to see your father, do you? That's the response.
Yeah, well, there's a sad lack of the knowledge of God. And first and foremost, God is holy, which means he is transcendent. He is majestic. He is glorious in the perfections of who he is. He has, the word holy means to be separated, to be set apart from. And God is set apart and above the works of his hands and his creation. Yes, he is with us and he is immanent, but he is also transcendent. And he is high and lifted up. Isaiah saw that. When he entered the temple, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And we need to recapture actually the knowledge of God and who God is. We have lost all sense of reverence and fear of God. We want Christianity to become a cuddly religion And it's so reflective of the times in which we live.
Yeah, and it just doesn't do anybody any favors.
Mm-mm.
And again, in a time of need, people need a bigger God too, right? They need to know he's got this, and he's bigger and in control. They
right.
don't need to be thinking that God is kind of hip and groovy.
Yeah.
All right, so there's something that first of all, do you mind if I eat?
No, I want you to.
You're not going to, are you?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not, sir.
Why not? This is a beautiful plate of food. And give me this, I have to preach soon business.
Yeah. I am so happy for you to be eating this.
All right, so then I guess what I'll do is I'll ask a question,
yeah.
shove something in.
Yeah,
just go.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the scenario. Imagine you're 49 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody, before you turn 50, sit you down and say, Steve, I want to talk to you about this next decade and what it has in store for you? Did anybody take you through the 50s?
Not specifically the 50s. I've, for a long time, been consciously aware of the shortness of life and the suddenness of death and the length of eternity. And that has weighed heavy upon me. And so the 50s, in some sense, is only a subset of the bigger picture of the time that I have to live here on the earth. And so, no one ever sat me down to think about my 50s. And I never really sat down and thought about it because back in my 20s, even as a teenager, I felt the weight of eternity resting on me, and that I only had so much time here on this earth to serve God and to do whatever it is he's called me to do. So entering my 50s was just the continuation of really a long sense of redeem the time for the days are evil.
It's short. Isaac, you go ahead. Did you need to leave? It's cool.
I'm interested now, so I'm fine.
You're trying to sneak. Well, then, okay. I just want to make sure you're cool over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Isaac is cool wherever he is.
He is cool. But did anybody ever specifically go, this decade is going to be different than the last one? You're going to experience a new dynamic in your marriage, in your home, empty nesting, physical problems, graying hair, being seen no longer as young and groovy. Did anybody talk to you like that in specifics?
No. Huh.
Okay, that's what I want to do then. Because today's subject...
You're too late. I just turned 70. You're too late, sir.
You're only 70?
I know, I look old.
You look great for 80.
Yeah. The yoke's on me.
All right. So going into the 50s, a buddy of mine said, don't even think about it. Everything stays the same. And that has not been my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about some of the dynamics of that particular decade. And you can start thinking already about the 60s. So going into the 50s, one of the things that happens is the kids leave. And now mom and dad are home alone. And I think that explains why we see so many people who have been married for 30 years getting divorced. Because all of a sudden, they're actually home alone with their spouse.
Yeah.
How should a man, how should a woman prepare for that time?
Well, what you just spoke to, the husband-wife relationship, obviously that needs to be being cultivated long before you become an empty nester. And I think that works out different ways for different people, depending upon even their profession and who their wife or spouse is. And so there's not a one-size-fits-all answer for everybody on this. But it really begins with your relationship with the Lord. I mean, long before your relationship with your wife, it begins with the Lord. And that you're walking closely with the Lord, that you're in the Word, His Word is in you. And really, everything is flowing out of your union and communion with Christ. That's what's dictating everything. And so that really rises above even now all of a sudden I'm home alone. Well, maybe you've been alone from the Lord is the real issue. And so all of a sudden you're home alone. Quite frankly, that's no big deal. I think of my father's generation who fought in World War II, went through the Depression, literally, I mean, the whole thing. I mean, to be sitting in a very nice house, air conditioned with your wife is not really like it's the challenge of the ages. So there's not going to be a lot of hand holding here by me. And then maybe you just need to grow up. Maybe you need to mature. Maybe you need to get plugged in to serving the Lord. Maybe you need to be discipling other people. Maybe you need to be discipled. All of these things, really, I think we tend to treat symptoms and not the disease. And a lot of the husband-wife, home-alone dynamics, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Oh, I hate to interrupt, but we do have to break away for just a couple of minutes. We will be back as Todd continues chatting with Dr. Stephen Lawson. More from their conversation next on Wretched Radio. All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Safely Home will challenge your faith, it will question your comfort, and it will make you reconsider how you view the lost. It is a straight-up sucker punch with hard-hitting questions like, are you ready to suffer for your faith? Are you ready to die for it? Yeah, it's that intense. And don't take my word for it. You can actually read a sample right now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. And remember, when you purchase the book, tissues are not included, but they are heavily recommended. Seriously, stock up. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org. And get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you. Hey, thank you so much for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me tell you just how this ministry is going to be changing lives later this year. With your help, meet Dr. John Krotz, one of the new powerful voices who will soon be joining this ministry later in the year. Dr. Krotz is a pastor at Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia. He holds a doctorate of ministry from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and Dr. Krotz has also authored several books, including Graciousness, Tempering Truth with Love, and of course, Loving the Church. His work focuses on theology and pastoral care, helping believers grow in their faith and their love for the church, and your support can help bring more voices like Dr. Krotz to the forefront. Just join our $250,000 match campaign, which is happening right now. You can visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us, and together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Gotta tell you, very excited. We have got a new outreach that we are working on with the good folks at the Masters Academy International, talking about getting John MacArthur study Bibles in Spanish to South American countries, some of which we maybe can't mention, if you know what I'm saying. It was such a delightful time, and so many people participated in our Bible distribution to the Philippines. That was such a gas. But as long as I brought up the Masters Academy International, it is a great ministry. It's a privilege to be working with these people. They're very thoughtful. They're very methodical, teaching men how to preach the Word of God rightly. Then they send them back to their churches where they open up the Bible, perhaps for the first time, at least to that depth. Because of the training of the Masters Academy International, if you want to support a ministry that strengthens the local church, hey, you'd be hard-pressed to do better than TMAI. You can learn more about that, if and you want to, at wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. Galatians was written by Paul to the churches he planted in the region of Galatia, in modern-day Turkey, where a form of legalism was threatening the gospel. Paul insists that salvation is by grace through faith, and to rely on the law is to deny the gospel. In the gospel, God has once for all declared us righteous on the basis of Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Wretched Radio, a special episode today where we listen in on a conversation Todd had with Dr. Stephen Lawson.
We are the problem. And it's my heart, it's my mind, it's my life. I need to be in right relationship with God. And I need to be really a living sacrifice that is given to the Lordship of Christ. And walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And all of those things really precede my relationship with my wife and really enable me to live even at times with patience and self-control and love and joy and peace. I mean, that's just all fruit of the Spirit.
Right. Right. That, I think that's going to strike a lot of people, though, as being disconnected. Because one of the things
that's an excuse. I mean, really, we are the human mind is just an excuse factory, just inventing excuses on why we can't do what God has called us to do. God has given us sufficient grace, all sufficient grace, to do everything He has called us to do. And sure, there's a practical application with some of the things that you have said. But, you know, when I lived at home and my dad would give me work assignments, one of them was to weed the yard. And I'd have to get on my hands and knees with a screwdriver and get all the weeds out of the yard while he's at work. Well, you could either just skim the top,
right,
which only makes the root system stronger of the weeds.
Right.
Or I can go down below the surface with this screwdriver and uproot what's below the surface, the root, and get the entire root out. I think today, we're just dealing with symptoms, not the disease, and we just want to spray perfume on weeds at the ground level rather than going down into the heart and into the life. And for God and by the indwelling Holy Spirit, really deal with the sanctification of the person. So I really think the issue is sanctification. I think the issue is lordship. And a lot of these other things are just techniques. And we really need to get back to blocking and tackling and just basic, running the plays rather than exotic certain things.
Right. About 20-some years ago, do you know where Minnesota intersects with Wisconsin and Iowa? It's right on the Mississippi River, comes together. It's beautiful. Mrs. Friel and I driving through. And we started to notice Corvettes. You know, they're really, you know, like the Stingrays and what have you. Like everywhere. And we realized there was a Corvette convention that was going on in La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And we also noticed what the people look like in the Corvettes. Mm-hmm. Give or take, 55-year-old male driving the car. And about a 30, 35-year-old blonde female uh-huh. in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
And I thought the stereotype fits because there are a lot of men who hit their 50s and they find themselves going astray and wandering and not being satisfied with their wife and ending up driving a Corvette. Talk to me about a man's thinking as he's starting to inevitably feel, hey, I'm not the young gun I used to be. How does a guy think through that?
Well, Todd, number one, I don't know because I've never
pondered it.
I've never pondered it. I mean, I've stayed so busy serving the Lord. And I don't mean that as super spiritual talk, but I just have to sit around and think, okay, I'm having a midlife crisis now. I need to go buy a Corvette and.
But guys do help them. How do they stave that off?
By growing up in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, by finding their true pleasure and treasure in Christ. And there's nothing wrong in having a Corvette. I mean, you know, there's no prohibition in the Bible on that. The issue is, does the Corvette have you? There's nothing wrong in having things. What's wrong is for things to have you. And if that becomes your identity, if that becomes your driving mojo, then you've got problems. And that Corvette's not going to satisfy you. You're going to want to upgrade to something else. You're going to want to, you know, you're going to want a new house now to put the Corvette in the garage. But no, you need to have a trip because you're tired of being at this new house with the Corvette. But there's no end to it. And, you know, 1 John 5 says, do not love the 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world is passing away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. And so an infatuation with the world will never satisfy. And it will only cause you, it's like being desperately thirsty and you drink salt water. It's not going to quench your thirst. It's actually going to make you thirstier. And so the things of the world are not going to quench, is not going to satisfy your thirst for what your drive is. It's only going to make you thirstier for the next thing until you find your true pleasure in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. So that's the issue for the 50-year-old man who's having a midlife crisis and searching for the right color Corvette. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with having a hobby. We need recreation.
But it's a distraction from the realities of life.
Well, it becomes more than that. It becomes a lifestyle. It becomes really who you are and what you're about, and it's pulling you off track.
Okay, so the preparation for the 50s, to use your words, grow up.
Yeah.
Mature up.
Yeah.
Start thinking a little bit more eternally. Here come the 60s, and for many people, because I see the commercials, health issues start to creep in. A man, a woman starts breaking down a little bit, I've heard. I don't know if you know this, I am over 40.
Yeah.
That wasn't a lie. I'm over 40.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so the 60s hit, and the body starts to show that it's maybe just doesn't have the stamina, mm-hmm. sleeping patterns. Eating becomes different. We've actually started to notice that. You know what we've started to do at restaurants? Split a meal.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought.
Yeah.
Can we just share a plate? Because you don't need that much food.
Yeah.
All right. How does somebody think through when they're tweak, it hurts, it's not working right? What's the Christian supposed to be thinking on as the body deteriorates?
Hold 1 second. Could you move your phone actually to the other side?
Yes.
That's all.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah. No worries. All right. So the body breaks down.
Well, obviously we're to take care of ourselves, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and it's the house in which we serve the Lord. So we do need to take appropriate steps and measures. At the same time, you're not going to live 1 second past what God has predetermined and foreordained that you're going to live. And the sovereignty of God has already marked out the number of your days. Job 14, verse 5 says that you will not surpass the number of months that have been appointed for you to live. But it's not just months. Psalm 139 says that all of our days were written in his book when as yet there was not one of them. So I do think that there needs to be in your 60s, but I mean 50s, 40s, whenever, a resting in the sovereign providence of God. And you will be healthy and alive on this earth as long as he has foreordained that you will be here upon this earth. And you're not going to live 1 millisecond past. And the day that you die, will be the perfect day
that
God has already determined. That's not fatalistic. That's just biblical Christianity. And so we live our life with a sense of urgency. Jesus said in John 9, verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. And the metaphor there with night and day, day is the allotted time that God has given us to be here upon this earth. Night is the approaching time of our death. And the sun is setting on our appointed time. And there is a work that God has already predetermined for us to do.
I'm breaking up and interrupting this conversation again. Actually, I'm not interrupting their conversation. I'm interrupting your ability to listen to it, but only for a couple of minutes. We'll be back with more from Todd's conversation with Dr. Steve Lawson next on Wretched Radio. And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, in a ruling that's sure to ruffle feathers, the Texas Supreme Court has upheld a ban on child gender transitions. By a whopping 8-1 majority, the justice has decided that preventing doctors from prescribing puberty blockers and hormones to minors is okay under the state constitution, as it should be. Justice Rebecca Huddle wrote that the legislature made a permissible, rational policy choice. I know what she's trying to say, and I don't disagree with her, but it shouldn't be permissible or rational to say that should not irreversibly mutilate the bodies of minors. That should just be mandatory. Meanwhile, in the Buckeye State, Ohio lawmakers have decided that when nature calls, students should answer based on their biological needs. The State House passed a bill requiring K-12 and college students to use bathrooms and locker rooms matching their sex at birth. Democrats and LGBTQ advocates are crying foul, but Republican sponsors say that it's all about protecting privacy. Representative Adam Byrd chirped that superintendents and school boards need clarity on this issue, which I don't know why anyone should need clarity on this issue at all. If you were born a boy, you're a boy. If you were born a girl, you're a girl. Go to the bathroom appropriately. And a victory for the heartbeat bill crowd, the Iowa Supreme Court has given the green light to enforce the state's ban on most abortions after 6 weeks. Governor Kim Reynolds praised the 4-3 ruling, saying it upholds the will of the people. Iowa now joins over a dozen other states with similar laws in effect. Planned Parenthood probably updating their road trip maps as we speak. In Washington, newly discovered communications showed that certain high-ranking health officials had quite the cozy relationship with a transgender health organization. Emails reveal that Rachel Levine, the guy that wears a dress in the Biden administration that heads the Department of Health and Human Services, well, he met with leaders of the World Professional Association for Transgender Health and urged them to remove age restrictions from guidelines on gender transition surgeries. And other experts are saying this is nothing but collusion and a disturbing medical scandal. But hey, they're just experts. What do they know? And finally, today, the Supreme Court has handed down a ruling that could shake up hundreds of January 6th cases. In a 6-3 decision, the justices said federal prosecutors went a bit overboard when they applied an obstruction statute to Capitol riot defendants. Chief Justice Roberts wrote that the government's interpretation was too broad, potentially affecting about 330 cases. Either way, it looks like quite a few January 6th defendants might be getting an unexpected get-out-of-jail-somewhat-free card. And that's today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
An apostle is a messenger sent from God. The apostles were granted power and authority to establish the New Testament church. There are no apostles living today, but just as the early church dedicated themselves to the apostles' teachings, so we dedicate ourselves to their teachings, which have been recorded in the New Testament. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Wretched Radio with more from Todd's conversation with Dr. Steve Lawson.
What I'm thinking about is biblical counseling. I've kind of got it on my brain lately. And how one rethinks through an emotional issue, because almost always, not every single time, but almost always, maybe every single time, underneath it is an issue of idolatry and worship and self. When somebody is just constantly consumed with thinking about their situation and their feelings and their relationships, it takes a person way down. And to get out of that funk, you need to turn your eyes off of yourself to Jesus, be looking at him, reorient your life. You're serving him in this moment. Your task is faithfulness. And that way, if you go through a midlife crisis, which doesn't happen at 55, unless you're going to live to be 110, but you're confronted, maybe the body is breaking down, the first response shouldn't be to call your doctor, do that, but it's to be thinking about God's purposes for me, God's intention for me. I'm here to serve. I'm in this place. I'm at this age because he wants me at this age. Ephesians 2:10, he has works that he's prepared for me to step into. So it's just, you're describing just orienting your life away from a lot of the temporal cares, my relationship with God. That's pretty much all you've been saying.
Robert Murray McShane, who was a great Scottish preacher in the 19th century, said, for every one look at self, take 10 looks at Christ. In other words, only glance at yourself, gaze upon Christ. People who are in a funk and are in a death spiral and are in deep sorrow generally are absorbed with them in the situation in which they find themselves. And I realize there are very real situations in which people find themselves, and no way to minimize that. However, even in the midst of the most difficult time of life, we can have joy and we can have peace because it's found in the Lord. The night before Jesus was crucified, if I knew I was going to be crucified tomorrow, I'd be a basket case probably. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made full. The very joy that was in Christ before he went to the cross.
Don't you love it when people go, hey, I don't mean interrupt.
You just did.
You do mean to interrupt.
or they'll say, could I ask you a question?
Yeah, right.
You just did.
John 14:1. It's the discourses continuing in the upper room. And you just talked about the joy that Jesus the Son has with the Father. But in John 14:1, in my estimation, one of the most underappreciated verses for being encouraged and to not be worried. It's the night of his betrayal. He knows this is going to be awful. And so he gathers the men and he says, fellas, let's talk about me and my emotions. Now he says, do not let your heart be troubled. And he turns his focus actually away from himself to others.
Sure, you believe in God, believe also in me.
So you're talking about the vertical, but Jesus also says, don't be looking at yourself so much. Be of the interest of others.
Yeah.
And that, I think, also helps us to have joy in the midst of suffering. That we're not about just this all the time.
All right. Another scenario. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's in Roman imprisonment. For 2 years, chained to Roman soldiers. This is an alpha dog type AAA personality. He is on the go for God. And now he's confined to a house, chained to Roman soldiers for 2 years. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice.
Philippians written in jail.
Written in jail. And so I think that we need to understand that we can have joy and peace in the most difficult of circumstances, because our joy and peace is not found in circumstances. It's found in the Lord who never changes and who is all sufficient. And so we all need to be reminded of this. We all need to be redirected toward the Lord, because we tend to take our eyes off the ball. Mm-hmm. I'll give you another example. When Jesus came walking on water, and Peter said, bid me to come to you, which is pretty good. So Peter gets out of the boat, and he starts walking on water to mm-hmm. come to Christ. I mean, that's good. He wants to be where Jesus is. But he begins to look at the waves that are crashing in all around him, and he took his eyes off the Lord. And he began to sink because he is fixated upon the waves all around him. And so he prayed one of the most spiritual prayers ever prayed. Help! Help, Lord! There was no filibustering in that prayer. And the Lord raised him up. And the next thing we know, they're both in the boat.
Okay. But Jesus, this is one of my favorite parts about the Bible, is that sometimes you're given a teaching and then you're shown the lesson.
Uh-huh.
So Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, oh, you of little faith. Look at the sparrows, look mm-hmm. at the lilies. Oh, you of little faith. When Peter starts sinking, he's accused of having a little faith. When the disciples were in a sinking spell, and the disciples, the rest of them followed when there was no bread and they were in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, you of little faith, don't you remember the things that I've already fed 5,000 people? And so really, when we're anxious, it's a faith issue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a puny faith. Either I'm having a little bit of faith in God, or I'm having a lot of faith in myself. But either way, I'm in big trouble because it's a
lot of faith. Or a lot of faith and a little God.
That, okay, fair enough. I'll add that to the list.
Yeah.
So it's a faith issue. Being troubled, John 14:1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Almost feels like they have nothing to do with one another. When you're feeling troubled, it's because you're not believing rightly. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Just means you're not believing the way that we're supposed to. And that's what you're banging on right now,
mm-hmm.
is be believing rightly. All right, I want to get into the 70s.
Okay.
The body is definitely not able to do all of the things that it did.
Mm-hmm.
There's more free time in the day of some folks in their 70s or 80s or not, when they really start to slow down. What should they be doing with all of that time?
Serving the Lord.
How?
However they're gifted and whatever doors are open before them. As long as you are on this earth, there is work for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't, the old saying, we don't retire, we refire. And people who have reached their 70s, they're retired from work, they need to invest their time, their wisdom, their energy into the kingdom of God. And that's going to take different forms for different people, depending upon how you are gifted by God and where He has planted you and what those opportunities are. But you're freed up now to serve the Lord. I mean, 1 Corinthians 7 talks about the advantages of being single. And the advantage is you have more time to serve the Lord. You have less concerns of caring for another person and a family. Well, it's kind of the same when you retire. You're freed up now, not to go to the beach, but to go to the streets and to serve the Lord.
And the local church.
Well, that's certainly.
Drives me bonkers.
Yeah.
You know, so you look around and it's like, where's the gray hairs? So often they head to Florida, unplugged from the local church, and it's like, you got a lot of youthful energy and not a whole lot of gray-haired wisdom there. They're needed there, and they should be turning their focus toward the local church.
Yeah, and I think the church can do a lot to help promote that as well, like not having junior high church on Sunday morning. That is a total disconnect for a mature believer.
Right.
And so the church itself plays a part in this, of creating a nurturing body and a worship service in which they can actually worship God.
Yeah, it takes kind of a worldly approach. Let's make this as youthful as possible. The pastor tries to look as youthful as possible. and he's kidding nobody. It's like, okay, with your untucked shirt, we still see the gut. You're not as young as you used to be. So I agree, the church is really not aiming up. It's shooting down.
It is.
To the detriment of everybody.
Yeah, it's looking for the lowest common denominator possible.
And we have to take another quick break here on Wretched Radio, but we will be back as Todd and Dr. Stephen Lawson wrap up their chat. This is Wretched Radio.
You're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry. Oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Attention all Christians who refuse to be silenced. Are you tired of seeing culture crumble before your eyes? Picture this. Later this year, 8 brilliant minds, each a powerhouse in their field, will be coming on board and joining forces with us here at Gospel Partners Media, and we're creating a Christian version of the Daily Wire. We'll be tackling tough topics by writing articles, creating resources and homeschool curriculums, video resources, podcasts, and a lot more. These gentlemen will be your guides in navigating this upside down brave new world we're living in. But we need your help to make this vision a reality. If you'll join our $250,000 match campaign right now, you can be part of this exciting new chapter. Every dollar you give will be matched up to $250,000. Just visit wretched.org/fellows right now to learn more about the initiative and each of the 8 brilliant minds that will be joining us. That's wretched.org/fellows.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family, and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Revelation. How can anyone know God unless he reveals himself? If God did not speak, religion would be nothing more than man's best guess. But God has revealed himself in creation, in the Bible, and in the person of Jesus Christ. We can know God, and we can be brought into right standing with him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we are back here on Wretched Radio, where Todd and Dr. Steve Lawson have been chatting it up today. And we'll get back to that conversation now.
Now somebody's in their 80s, Lord willing, and death is imminent. Mm-hmm. Compared to, definitely the sands in the hourglass are nowhere near what they used to be. Mm-hmm. The Puritans used to use a phrase, being fit for death, mm-hmm. being fit for heaven. What does that term mean?
Well, it means that you are deepening in your faith in the Lord and in your walk with the Lord. And it's like John Wesley once said about the Methodist movement, our people die well. our people die well, meaning there's not dread and terror over death because we understand we graduate to glory. It's the eye of the needle through which we pass into the very immediate presence of God. And Paul in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die, gain. So, you know, when you're in your 80s or at whatever point in life, it really comes back to your relationship with the Lord and your walk with the Lord, and that you are ascending upward in your relationship with the Lord and in your ministry, your service, your prayer life, your discipleship, and that, you know, when it comes time to die, you die, as Jonathan Edwards said, you die without regrets. He wrote those 70 resolutions, and he was preoccupied with the day of his death.
Mm-hmm. Regular in those.
And he had prepared since he was 18 years old to die, and not knowing when that would be and what the circumstances would be. And as he became the third president of Princeton, he had but like a month and a half, something like that, and he died unexpectedly. But he was ready. He lived in a state of readiness. He had prepared every day of his life for that last day.
Okay, sounds maudlin, somebody would say.
Sounds what?
Maudlin.
What's that?
No kidding. Morbid. It sounds, you're focusing on death your whole life. That seems dreary.
I think that's an immature response to reality. It's like an ostrich wanting to bury your head in the sand and just play like or pretend that there is no death. The government has a new statistic just released. One out of every one person dies. And so it's...
Is that a new one?
Yeah. Oh. It's a couple $1 trillion to come up with that. No, it's coming. And so for you to say that's morbid, no, that's real. That's real to life. And if you're not preparing for that final day to be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, it really makes me wonder, where are you then with the Lord? Because death will take you into the immediate presence of the Lord. If you're a believer, it'll take you into the presence of the Lord. If you're not a believer, you need to prepare to meet God, as Amos said. So I know this is weighty and maybe a heavy for some people, but, you know, being a spiritual lightweight, being a spiritual snowflake is not going to enable you to live well or to die well. And so there needs to be gravitas in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And there needs to be the fear of the Lord in you. You never outgrow the fear of the Lord. We just want the trivialization of God, of death, of life. And that's just really fool's talk, to be honest. We need to feel the eternal weight of glory. Right. Resting on our shoulder.
Preparing for death, spending a day in the house of mourning, far more profitable than the day in a house of rejoicing. So I wrote that.
Thank you, Solomon. Yeah.
So preparing well to die will help you to die well. But being fit for heaven, what were they driving at with encouraging people? Because they did. Be fit for heaven. Well, it's like, well, Jesus makes me fit, but they were after something else. What was it?
Well, there is laying up for yourself treasure in heaven, you know, where thieves do not break in and moth does not corrupt. You need to send your resources to heaven ahead of you. You need to be giving to the Lord, and you need to be serving the Lord and building up your treasure in heaven. And there will be varying degrees of rewards in heaven. And when you arrive in heaven, and when the day comes, you stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to want there to have been a life well lived for the glory of God. And for you to be recognized by the Lord himself in heaven for having been faithful to what he had called you to do. You want to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. And you do not want to build with wood, hay, and stubble, because it's going to go up in smoke. And 1 Corinthians 3 says, you'll be saved, but through fire. And so you'll get into heaven with your coattails on fire. And whatever reward you would have had has gone up in smoke. So really, your life amounted for very little. You're not going to be happy about that in that day. You're going to want to invest your life now sacrificially for the cause of Christ, knowing that there is coming a day of recompense. There is coming a final day when the Lord will reward his servants according to their faithfulness. And there'll be varying degrees of that. It's not going to be one size fits all crowns in heaven. There will be greater recognition for some than others. And that day may be fast approaching, because Jesus said in Revelation 22, three times, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according to his deeds. We are saved by grace. We are judged by works.
Not judged for sins, judged for works.
And we will be rewarded for works. Mm-hmm. And so we just need to have a comprehensive theology and understand that, that there's more to salvation than just justification. I mean, there is sanctification and all the aspects that are a part of that. So, I mean, we need to have our shoulder to the plow, and we need to be out in the field, and we need to be serving the Lord, not knowing when that final day is going to come.
Tell me what you think of this, because I'm making it up. So it's okay if you correct me.
Okay.
Right? Laying up treasures in heaven is mm-hmm. to be fit for heaven, but also, you correct me if I've got this kind of goofy.
I would never correct you.
Oh, yes, you would. I want you to. Let's just say a man or a woman is longing for the Savior on a scale of 1 to 10. They're about a 2. Another is at a 7. Somebody else can't wait. Their days mm-hmm. are just looking forward mm-hmm. to eternity, where they get to be with their Savior. Mm-hmm. And their life is built around that. Mm-hmm. And they're studying the Word because they want to get to know the Savior now. Mm-hmm. When those three people get to heaven, and they'll all get to heaven because they've all believed in Jesus Christ, the 2 is going to enjoy heaven at a 2 level. Mm-hmm. Fully content, but they won't be at a 7 level, and mm-hmm. the 7 is not going to be at the 10 level. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that somebody's going to be like, well, I'm not as happy. No, it means you're going to be happier yeah. the more you are fit for heaven. Eh?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
That worked?
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's if I want to enjoy my God mm-hmm. in eternity to the max, get yourself ready now.
Absolutely. R.C. Sproul used to write an article in Every Table Talk called Right Now Counts Forever. Mm. And we need to be living on the doorsteps of eternity. Yeah. We need to be living with an eternal perspective. Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Mm-hmm. And numbering your days involves using those days with maximum rate of return for the glory of God. So I agree with you. Right now, this does count forever.
And on that note, I have one last question. Mm-hmm. I'm going to finish that.
I would love for you to have it, sir.
You know, so would I.
There's too many things.
We share that.
There's too many things touching right there for me.
What if we separate that for you?
Yeah, it's too late.
It's too late. They already touched.
It's too late. That's okay. I'll eat tomorrow.
It's done. So, you know, in heaven, at the banquet, your food will be plated better than what we have here on Earth.
I'll have a divider plate.
And we want to thank you for joining us today on this special episode of Wretched Radio, where Todd and Dr. Steve Lawson had a great conversation here recently. So glad to have had the opportunity to share that with you today. And we hope you come back and join us for more Wretched Radio right back here in the same wretched spot tomorrow. And until then, go serve your king.